Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Oh, time to lean back. It's been a busy morning. Sometimes I look forward to the show just so Mama Bear here can lean back and go, all right, this is the focus for the next few hours. Nothing else is going to make any difference, right? Woo! Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is who we are. And here's the deal. Having just had a light bulb moment go off in the past several days about a very special birthday coming up on Saturday, I, in the past 72 hours, thought, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and see if he'll do it. What that is I made sure I reached out to Everett Hart and had his email address, waited a little bit for a go-between, one of these liaisons, these publicists, these girl or man Fridays that these celebrities have, and I didn't hear back, so I thought I'm just going to go and ask him if he'll spend a little time. So here's what's up. Everett Harp is in a different city for the next several days, and I just sent him an email message a half an hour ago. Hopefully, he's getting to a safe location where he can make the call. In the meantime, can we please listen to something by Everett Harp from 2009? Whew! Let's do it. This is Central Park West on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Something. For the longest time, whenever you would go to George Duke online, that would be the music that you heard. And it didn't really register for quite a while that the sax that I was hearing was from Everett Harp. So, you know, you can imagine what is going through Everett Harp's mind even now. It's been, what, several days since the passing of George. That had been a long-term association, a mentorship, a second kind of dad, a big brother at least, with George Duke in the picture, and constant advice, constant making sure that one was taking care of the other, checking in, spending time on the road, spending time in the studio. So let me just say something about Everett Harp. He's not with us yet, and I'm really not worried. I'm quite surprised that he said he was going to do the show today. Not only because there is a situation happening with this Jeff Lorber, Chuck Loeb tour that consists of a different city every day. Every day. So we're talking about some older cats on the road. You know, you know that I love my seasoned veterans who are on the road, but it's a little tough because everybody's got families and everybody's got other obligations. To be on the road in a different city every day, that's tiring in and of itself. But Everett has had no time to mourn George Duke, except in a social platform like tweeting. And the tweets were just heartbreaking first couple of days. Woo! So he is no doubt trying to find a place to lay his hat and his phone so he can make the call. And look, here's the situation. It almost doesn't matter. I would love to have him. We just agreed on this in the past 24, 48 hours. So he knows my email address. He knows the telephone number. He might have had hours crossed up. It's okay. We'll just wait on him. That was What Goes Around Comes Around from George Duke's 2010 Deja Vu CD with Ray Fuller on guitar, Michael Manson on bass. There you go, Griselda. You know that bass is kicking if Mike Manson is on it. And then George on his Motif ES-8 synthesizers, piano, and drum programming. Genius as he was. Love that picture on the page of the insert, which he signed for me a couple of years ago when I saw him at Burke's Jazz with Al Jarreau. That was one of those magical moments. We heard at the top of the hour, Everett Harp. That was from First Love, from 2009, produced by George Duke. That was Everett's love song to John Coltrane, Train Central Park West. Isn't that beautiful stuff? And here's what I think that we'll do. I'm just going to check back to see if he has written something, because that's the way we're going to get in touch with each other while we're doing this. And let's do this. Let's pretend it's the second hour of the show. I'm going to play another Everett Harp track for you. The reason why the timing is so significant, by the way, is because Everett and Lorber and Loeb are coming to Bethesda Blues and Jazz on Saturday, which happens to be Everett's 52nd birthday. So I really wanted to milk this for everything that it was worth. So let's pay more attention to the music that this wonderful man has created. This is also from First Love, which many define as his pivotal album, Here's Why. He just let the chips fall where they may. He went back to what he heard when he was a little guy in his pastor dad's church. He went back to the straight-ahead jazz that turned him on when he was a youngin', and he thought, you know, if these more contemporary folks are going to get offended, it doesn't matter. I want to do what I want to do. Thank God. This is called Before You Leave, which is a Cole Porter song on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You're going to enjoy this. Forget the nonsense about not telling one another's age these days. Patty would agree. She just turned 63 on August the 10th. Very proud of that. She's looking fantastic. About to head to the Philippines for a show or two with George Benson, which is coming up, and another few with Joe Pizzullo. If you don't know that name, you remember Sergio Mendez? Back in the, the 80s and 90s. Never Gonna Let You Go, that great voice. She's doing a couple of things with him. And if you didn't know this, let me tell you, Patty is full tilt boogie involved with an organization called the Over My Shoulder Foundation. She does a lot to mentor those who need a helping hand to get up a leg in their career, especially music. I just love her for that. We heard John Coltrane as well. That was the Cole Porter song, Every Time We Say Goodbye, from 1961's My Favorite Things. Now look, I played John Coltrane. Here's why. There are not a lot of saxophonists that I would play on the show and then follow them with John Coltrane. There are maybe a less than a handful, because you got to earn that right to get followed by John Coltrane, because you don't want to do this because everybody has their own style, but there's a certain kind of, how shall we say, brilliance that needs to be side by side. And the one of the only people that I would think about doing that to, with whatever preposition you want to use, is a gentleman who's on the phone right now who was inspired early on by John Coltrane, and he has done an absolutely masterful job of his own interpretation of his own skill and complete, honest to God, overwhelming gift. And now the phone disappeared. Oh my gosh. That's okay. Everett Harp was on the phone, and he'll probably call back. But after that brilliant intro, woo! Seriously, let me see if he wrote a message. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. He'll call back. You know what? You just don't know what's happening on the road with these phones. Remember when Matt Toussaint was on like over a year ago and he actually had to say, I'll give you a call back because I got to charge up my phone? Oh, I'm thinking that's what happened with Everett. That's okay. We'll go on. That's what we'll do. Patty Austin, so amazing. That's from Forever, For Always, For Luther, Volume 2, that was out in 2006. And John Coltrane, we also heard from 1961, with Elvin Jones and McCoy Tyner. Yeah. gosh, am I even looking at the right thing here? Okay, Steve Davis was on double bass. And that was when Coltrane made his bebop to modal change. And just so you have a little aside about the background for that, Miles Davis, in the summer of 1960, had been on a European tour and picked up a soprano sax for John. And that year, John quit the Miles Davis band to branch out on his own. But the significance of this was that really nobody was playing a soprano sax at that time. So here comes John Coltrane, and he was doing a stint that summer at some of the places in New York, and folks were really paying attention. My favorite things was the seventh album on Atlantic Records, produced by, I love this name, Nesui Ertogun, who was just so famous along with his brother Ahmet on Atlantic Records. And their father was an ambassador from Turkey to the United States, and Herbie Hancock picked up a lot of inspiration from Ahmet. So the story goes on. Now, another birthday while we find out what's going on with Everett. David Benoit is going to be having a birthday coming up on, what, the 18th? A big one, 60. So let us pay attention to this beautiful piece of music that he wrote along with his good friend David Pack, Napa Crossroads Overture from Conversation on Hybrid Jazz.
coming.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Got a lot to learn, and you think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is a perfect spot to learn, teach me tonight, starting with the ABC of A. Right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of this. Teach me tonight. The sky's a blackboard, so high above you. And if a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you 1,000 times across the sky. One thing is then very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation almost here, my love. Teach me tonight. Come on, baby. Come on, sugar. Come on, darling. I want you to show me what you want me to do, girl.
Temperature when I hear that man's voice. Look out, Jeffrey Osborne. Oh, teach me tonight. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. This is from A Time for Love, which is awesome because it's Jeffrey Osborne and because he returned to the roots of his childhood listening. His house. Now, Jeffrey's one of 12 children, all right? So that house was full anyway, but it was also full of jazz music because Daddy was a musician. So he heard all this stuff, and it penetrated his soul. So this is a return to what he knows and loves best, lest anybody have an argument about it. Teach Me Tonight, one of those great songs, Sammy Kahn, Gene DePaul song. On it, Kamasi Washington on tenor sax. Walt Fowler on trumpet, Paul Jackson Jr. on electric guitar, Little John Roberts on drums, Christian McBride on bass, the producer of the project, George Duke on piano, and Everett Harp on alto sax. Let me just be clear on this. It's a good doggone thing that Jeff Lorber and Chuck Loeb have Everett Harp on this tour, because if they want the soul on the tour, you got it right here. Right there. Man, that was something else. And normally I would be kind of freaking out because Everett Harp was supposed to be with us this hour, and apparently he called a little while ago. Whatever the circumstances, he's in Boston, Massachusetts. Chuck and Jeff and he are supposed to play Scullers tonight. So I'm just going to cut him some slack because there's a lot going on with that youngin' these days, and including his birthday coming up on Saturday, when he will come to Bethesda Blues and Jazz in this cool little reconverted movie theater. So there's Jeffrey Osborne right there. And we also heard from Grace Kelly. Now, you know what? We have to make mention of this, too, because Jeffrey Osborne is in some deep mourning over George Duke, as you would suspect. Just have to shout out to some folks who really showed some love to Jeffrey. His Celebrity Golf Classic just took place, held in his hometown of Providence, Rhode Island. Who came to bat for him to make sure that the place that was secured by George Duke got taken over with love? Eddie LeVert, Johnny Gill, Magic Johnson, and some significant others. They deserve some big love because they came through in a pinch for their friend, and got to make mention of that. Grace Kelly, The Way You Look Tonight sort of went well with Teach Me Tonight, don't you think? One of those old school songs back to back with another. GraceKellyMusic.com. Is that new? She changed it to music, didn't she? Because she wants to give you the impression that she is a full-service saxophonist, also a teacher and composer. From the, as a matter of fact, the CD, Live at Scullers, yes, The Way You Look Tonight, at the Iridium later this month. She's going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz in September at the Kennedy Center also in the month of September, next month, hard to believe. And as of today, we heard the news that our 21-year-old Grace Kelly is a semifinalist for the Monk competition. We'll have more information on that. That's really awesome. Woo! David Benoit. Just a little prop or two to David, who turns 60 on the 18th of August. Where to begin? A film scorer. Learned a lot about that in the way of his vast education. He learned how to conduct music in the best possible terms as well. Totally involved with the Asia America Symphony Orchestra. If you didn't know this, had been music director for both Lainey Kazan and Anne Margaret. Just an amazing website to learn this and so much more at benoit.com, B-E-N-O-I-T. It's a very elegant website, just like the man. You should know, too, that he had a female piano teacher when he was 13 and continued with a pianist for Arturo Toscanini. So this man is so well-versed in classical music, pop standards, jazz. Of course, he has the big affiliation with KKJZ, K-Jazz in Long Beach, California. His resume is one of the most awesome you could possibly conceive. From his Conversation CD, a song that he wrote with David Pack called Napa Jazz. No, Napa Crossroads, although there is a Napa Jazz too. Yeah. So, here's the story. We'll wait for Everett Harp. Maybe he won't call, if he does, that's awesome. And I'll keep checking my email because he constantly has a monitor on his little phone to see what kind of messages come his way. If he has fallen asleep, it's okay. He needs to sleep. If he has band practice for Scholars tonight, it's okay. He is such a consummate professional. I have no worries whatsoever. We'll just keep on rolling along. Let's go to 1975, if we can. This is still discussed as the greatest project in the history of CTI Records. It's Jim Hall, who might not be a household name in your house, but one of the greatest guitarists still living at the age of 82. This is he along with his sextet. And what a sextet it is. Paul Desmond, Chet Baker, Ron Carter, Roland Hanna, and Steve Gadd. A little tune called You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To from Concerto on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful work from 2001, Chris Bode and Lisa from Night Sessions, which is pretty fascinating because Chris had rented out a space and he and some of his musician friends got together and they decided to do something a little different. Chris was taking a break from his touring with Sting, and they thought it might be really cool if they would just let the music come to them. So everything you hear on Night Sessions, Chris's fourth album, first for Columbia, was recorded after the sun went down. Woo! So beautiful. And you can tell the influence of Sting, can't you? Oh, my gosh. You can feel it in this work so much. Billy Childs is on keys there. And a few of the musicians who came and went in that particular house that they rented in California got to see some sunsets, and they just let the music take them over. You want to hear something sad? I was telling my son this morning, and he went, "Wow, that is bad." And it is. This is what Chris does because he's got no home, essentially. He lives out of hotel rooms. He gets himself booked at the Blue Note in New York over Christmas and New Year's because that's essentially his home. He has a string of dates in New York City so that the family that he really does not have and the partnership that he does not have at the age of 50, he just gets to play music and he forgets that he doesn't really have a home. It's just sad. All this money, and he was dating Katie Couric for a while, but that's long history. Bless his heart. Okay, here's the deal. I just saw another number pop on the screen, and now it's gone again. So I thought that maybe Everett was already in Boston, but I think he's still on the road. So here's the dilemma. Everett, if you are hearing me somehow, please don't sweat it. If your phone keeps dying or you keep getting into an area that doesn't have a pronounced or a prolonged signal, don't worry about it. Because I just happened to notice that the two phones that popped up were in the Nassau County, New York area, and that's on the way to Boston. This is really getting to be an interesting story, isn't it? Oh, I love Everett so much. And props to Shannon West, who just wrote on my Facebook page that she saw Everett, and he was magnificent. He was apparently in Florida with Jeff Lorber. I'm not sure if Chuck Loeb was part of the mix yet, but Shannon said he was absolutely fantastic. So he is. And if you're going to get to see him at Scholars tonight, this is wonderful. Everett, let me go check to see what is the proper online place for him. Hold on just a second in case you want to catch up because they're everywhere. Is it EverettHarp.com? EverettHarp.com, yeah. Find out where they're going to be. The biographical information isn't necessarily up to date, but the places where Lorber and Chuck Loeb and Everett are going to be are. You heard, too, at the top of that set, 1975, CTI Records producer Creed Taylor, hence CTI, Creed Taylor International. It was the Jim Hall Sextet. You'd be so nice to come home to our second Cole Porter song for this show. Paul Desmond on alto sax, Chet Baker on trumpet, Ron Carter on bass, Steve Gadd on drums, Roland Hanna on piano. Just wonderful. Interesting because Jim Hall on guitar had inspirations that were folks who did not play guitar. Coleman Hawkins, Lester Young. So his interpretation of what he heard in his head got translated into guitar. Concierto is the name of the CD, talked about as the greatest on CTI Records. Jim Hall is still with us at the age of 82, and it just would be so wonderful. God, I love to talk to these elders in jazz and find out what their experiences have been, what they are now, and what they would like to see as the way people remember them. Just beautiful. We're going to have another one of those right now. A little taste of a man who would have celebrated his birthday, passed away in 2007 after an absolutely wonderful career. And I didn't expect to play this one yet, so I have to maneuver with my phone in my hand. The Skype will be, as a matter of fact, it's on, but you just have to find a way to maneuver the Skype in such a way to make it seem flowy, organic, as it were. So it's going to be Oscar Peterson, who you'll hear momentarily. Or should I play? I wonder if I should play the other one that I was supposed to play. This whole interview situation that was supposed to happen in the first hour has changed the flavor just a little bit, but not too much. Yeah, let's play the one I was supposed to play, because that way Griselda is going to be happy. And anything to make Griselda happy, because she and Beej have been stalwarts from the very beginning of this radio show. 2 years old now, as of maybe August the 11th or so. I have to go back. Jared was our very first guest on the show. He's going to be back very soon. So we'll play another saxophonist right now, since we're speaking of that. Carl Stanley from A Beautiful Thing, one of those very soulful projects that he got to share space with in regards to Dwight Sills and Gianna Welling. Love this song. Matter of fact, it's called Love on Hyper Jazz. Yeah.
Thank you.
The great things about hybrid jazz, you can take a trip and you never have to leave the farm. Woo! We've had a number of 70s, just golden gassers, as we used to call them in Philly. Speaking of which, that was from Live at the Bijou in Philadelphia, circa May of 1977. One of the inspirations for my guest on the phone right now, that was Grover Washington Jr. And already we have played a few sax folks, and I wanted to make sure that this gentleman who is just about to get the intro knows that another inspiration, John Coltrane, was side by side with this man's work, because there's not a whole lot of guys or girls, whoever, that need to get played alongside of Coltrane except those who deserve to be so. And this is one of those rare few. Ladies and gentlemen, the absolutely amazing Everett Harp. There you are.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about someone else playing alongside John Coltrane.
Oh, thank you,
but that's way too big for me.
Oh, no. Au contraire, mon petit. It is not too big. Listen. For those of us who have absolutely loved you from the beginning, but loved you so much that to have studied you through the years and have seen how much you have flowered like this absolute beautiful rare jewel, Everett,
wow. You
are masterful.
Tell me where I send the check. Okay. Trish, where do I send it? That's all I have to say, because You're pouring it on pretty thick. I really appreciate it. I don't think I deserve that kind of praise. I'm as much of a fan of the people that you've mentioned and still learning from those guys and the people that you've played than I feel anywhere close to being able to play alongside of them. But I do appreciate the compliment. It's a wonderful compliment. Thank you very much.
Listen, you are welcome, and I'm not going to make you feel in the least way uncomfortable about it, but the situation... This is the thing about you. see, nobody, and you probably will agree with this because of your background, because you are so well-versed in what truth and wisdom is, but the fact is that nobody achieves true greatness unless there is a measure of humility. And you have been so humble through the years that when those who already have a talent, when humility comes into the scenario, then every kind of influence is allowed to infiltrate you. So you really love life. You love people. Oh,
yeah.
No, for sure. And you have just allowed yourself to stretch wings and fly, and that's been beautiful to see over the years. You feel that, right?
Well, I do now. I've never really thought about it before, but you just put it in such a perspective that it's really kind of undeniable to me. It's very apropos, and I think I'll take that and run with it.
You know. Come on now, give me a break.
No, it was great. I mean, if I wasn't thinking it before, I'm going to think it now, and of course I'm going to take credit for it from this point forward. That was very wonderful, very wonderful words.
Well, seriously, I have enjoyed.
And definitely part of it's true. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, here you are on this particular leg of your journey, and this is so interesting because, first of all, Everett, what is it? You're doing a different city every day.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes a doldrum out of the traveling part. I mean, at least we're playing. There's no downtime, so we're playing all the time. It's actually pretty fun. And I'm playing with a bunch of great guys, you know.
I know.
And that makes it even more special.
Well, is it one of those situations? I mean, because honestly, you and Chuck Loeb and Jeff Lorber don't necessarily have to do this. And I'm thinking, ooh, they are really going for the jugular here. They really want to do this because it certainly is a way for people to keep all of you in a strong focal point. The fact that anybody can go to your websites and see, what the heck are they doing? They're in Boston today. They're in New York tomorrow. They're coming to Maryland the next day. You guys are crazy.
No, well, I mean, it was an idea that I think really it was an idea that just came to fruition. Myself and Jeff's manager, Bud Harner, were talking, and I'd done this kind of sax guitar piano package before a few years back with Bobby Lyle and Paul Jackson. Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned it to the agent, and thought it just kind of got lost in transition, and somehow Bud Horner and our agent came back to me this year. It's been probably maybe a year or so since I originally, you know, thought about it, but they came and brought the idea to us. And I mean, look, why would I say no? I look at these two guys and say, wow, this is a chance for me to go out and get my butt kicked every night so I can become a better musician. And, you know, to be honest, that's what we all set out to do, is to try to be better musicians. The only way you get to be a better musician is to surround yourself with guys that kick your butt every night to make you a better musician. And our guys that, you know, are on a comparable or better level, so you have something to aspire to. And that's certainly what I've gotten.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That just goes right back to what I said earlier about the humility factor, because the really great artists that are out there have that particular philosophy. You want to surround yourself with at least the positive people, or the people with whom you feel that you are looking in the same direction. And, man, this is such a choice kind of teamwork involved. When you were first broached about the idea, did it matter to you that maybe you would have chemistry or no chemistry, or was it just an absolute, of course, I'm agreeing to this right away?
Well, I have to tell you, even if I didn't know these guys personally, I probably would have agreed to it right away just because of their their gifts, their abilities. But we've worked together over the years, especially over the past 5 or 6 years. So
yeah.
we're able, I mean, we kind of know each other already, and we know each other's playing, and it was really painless to say yes to.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad because, you know, this particular club that you're coming to in Bethesda, it's so wonderful because it's in the shadow of D.C. It's a reconverted movie theater. So it's a lot like another place in D.C., in the heart of D.C., called the Hamilton. You have this staggered seating. You have it's a larger room, but it's intimate at the same time. And everybody has been buzzing about this on Facebook and Twitter. You're going to be there on your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's been a while since I've really made I don't really make a big deal about my birthdays these days, you know. They come and they go. I spend most of them on the road, you know. So if I have the occasionally good fortune of being home with my family on my birthday, they tend to make a bit more of it than I ever would. But, you know, it's always a blessing to live another year. It's always a blessing. But these days, it's always a blessing to live another day. So, I mean, that the birthday is symbolic of, you know, my incarnate into this world. But on the other hand, you know, I look at every day as a birthday.
I do understand. And I made it a point to go see your tweets after our buddy George Duke had passed away. And I was praying for you because, you know what, you've been on the road and you hardly have a chance to yourself. So maybe that's a good thing, huh?
Yeah, well, I did come home right after I found out he had passed, and I had some time to myself, some reflecting time. If I had been on the road the entire time, it would have been quite a bit harder to handle.
Yeah.
It's not so easy. I mean, there are a lot of things that are easy to fake, and I've always said that performers should never bring their troubles on stage with them, but we're human beings as well.
Sure.
And that in itself was something that, we're always going to have one thing or those things, no matter how professional we try to be, we're going to always have something that's going to be really hard to, and that's going to be insurmountable. And this was certainly one of the ones for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, because you know what, if you go to everettharp.com, you proudly wear George Duke on your sleeve because of the advice that he has given to you through the years. And, you know, there were long-term relationships involved with this genius. And, man, you start feeling the love on Twitter and Facebook, and everybody that this man has touched, it's overwhelming, the love that people feel. Isn't that something special?
That just goes to show you how special he was.
Yep.
Someone described him very aptly as, you know, to me, from my describing, somewhat trying to encapsulate what my relationship was to them. They said, well, it sounds like he was like a father, which would be descriptive because he basically gave birth to me in this, my solo career. He brought me in, gave me my record deal. And I produced my first record, a brother, a big brother, because he took me under his wing, and he's certainly not old enough wasn't older than me enough to be a physical father. So in that regard, I looked at him as a big brother, and he watched over me, and a mentor, without a doubt. I learned so much from him. And then an idol. I mean, I was the biggest fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those four descriptions really aptly described, you know, my relationship. He took me in, he and his wife, Corrine, and they took me in as part of their family. And I mean, it wasn't a time that I never dropped by anybody's house ever. I mean, it's just not part of my makeup, but I dropped by his often.
Mm.
If I was just in the area, I'd drop by. I'd bring food, or we'd have a bite together or something. It was just, that's going to be the toughest part.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you need to know this. Just about this time last year, there was a chance to go to Wolf Trap to see George and Stanley play, and it was just awesome. Corrine had just passed, so it was the first time that George and Stanley were on stage together, and it was all that George could do to get through Sweet Baby.
Yeah.
And, so afterwards, there was a chance for a group of us, some friends from Philly, because Stanley and I are from Philadelphia, about the same age. He went to Roxborough High School. I went to Bishop McDevitt. Friends from Philly were gathered at this table at a diner right down the street from Wolf Trap, and George and his road manager were there. And names were bandied about, Everett, about who were beloved figures that folks have worked with in the years that have gone by, and your name came up.
Wow.
And
really?
The love that was expressed for you from George was palpable.
Did I owe him money? Did he say that?
No. You know what? That's funny, because I have it, and I'm going to give it to you on Saturday.
No, you know, when you wrote me that in your email, that he, I spent the good portion of the last week and a half bawling, you know, like a baby, which I'm a pretty stoic guy. I can speak emotionally, but I will rarely show that type of emotion. And I spent the better portion of a week just bawling, and I thought I got it all out until I read your email yesterday, and I'm sitting on a plane and I start bawling again, because those are the situations, those are the things when you have someone like George and someone tells you that he's done something like that or talked about you like that, even though I know the probabilities are good, because he wouldn't have brought me in unless he felt good about me. But
absolutely.
To hear that stuff is, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and those, you know what, people say these kinds of things when they are feeling vulnerable, because you just reveal who you really are when you are trusting people to come in, because you're not strong enough to ward off those defenses. So the truth comes out at those times. And I'm not going to dwell on that, because I don't want you to cry anymore.
Okay.
You tell me. Tell me what it is, that a little something that we can expect when we see you. I mean, I know you're going to play at Scullers tonight, and you've got a whole string of these events. But what is it that excites you about this combination? What are you guys doing together on stage?
Well, you know, we've never done this before. Tonight will be the first night. Jeff Lorber and I have played together quite a few times over the last 7-8 months. I like the chemistry. I've been a Lorber fan since, you know, the early Jeff Lorber fusion days. So it's great to be able to, you know, be the Kenny G or Gerald Albright, you know, to his Jeff Lorber. But as well, he's playing on my material as well. So I guess he has to be my George Duke to a degree.
Yeah.
But the fun thing about this is it's going to be new for us. And having played with Chuck and Jeff in different situations, I love their musicality. I mean, it's almost virtuosic instrumentalists, and harmonically, musically, improvisationally, they are at the top of the game. And, and contemporary-wise, and contemporary jazz-wise, I should say. So it's definitely I'm as much a fan. I mean, the thing I love about playing with other people, especially people whose playing I love, is I can be as much of a fan on stage as those people are out in the audience. And that's what makes it special for me. That's why I'm looking forward to it, because when these guys start playing, I'm looking at them going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I can. What was that? Go back and play it again. I'm still such a student. You know, and so I look forward to those moments, and I know I can have that with these guys. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's just going to be exciting and fun for me. We're going to have a good time. I know we are. It's just going to be great.
Well, and that's the real kick for the audience because, you know, from a business person's point of view, if you can see three absolutely amazing performers for the price of a ticket, no-brainer. I'm going. There's that. And then the second thing is that all of you have the kind of personality where you are going to reflect what kind of a good time you're having on stage because you're going to revel in one another's talent. That's amazing.
No. Well, we'll see about that one. I hope I'm not the only one reveling, but I doubt it. I doubt that would be the case.
You will not be the only one reveling. Stop it. So
they'll be looking at me going, oh, my God, where's Eric Marienthal? No.
Why? Yeah, why isn't Chuck reveling?
Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, we'll have a great time. And their personalities are great with the audience as well. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And this, my gosh, tonight, Scholars, is your first time together, all three of you?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God, I'm really psyched. Now I'm even more happy that you decided to give a call today. Yay! Thank you, Evan. You just had a rehearsal,
yeah,
too.
They're in there waiting on me. They're in there waiting on me to do a sound check, so I'm going to have to. But
you
it's been such a pleasure talking with you, Trish, and thank you for speaking on my relationship with George and giving me the opportunity to talk about him because I have to be honest, I probably wouldn't look to talk about him. I'd probably go in some type of cave and hide if people didn't drag me out because it's a deeply personal.
Yep.
It was a deeply personal relationship. I didn't look to exploit it. I still don't. But whenever I get a chance to talk about how great this man was, I don't think I'll pass that up.
Nope. And you know what? It's just going to be part of who Everett Harp is forever. So it's
I'll leave
be...
you with one thing.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with one thing I told George one day. We were sitting in his office and you know, he was getting phone call. He got a phone call from someone who was just raving about one record that he did. And he, you know, George was a very, very humble guy.
Yes.
And I just... And he had it on speakerphone. After the guy hung up, I said, George, you know, you get these people calling, raving about you. Now, God, not a God. I mean, don't let it go to your head. You know God. You're just a man with God-like qualities. You know, and he just laughed. I mean, it's just so appropriate. You're a man with God-like qualities.
Yes, that's for sure. And you know what?
Music. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's really cool that we who know are going to see him again someday.
Yeah.
So
that's for sure.
That's a very comforting thing. And you go and tell Jeff and Chuck hello. Have a wonderful time tonight and let the spirit of all that positivity and all that good stuff enter your being and just fly, Everett, fly.
We'll do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everett Harp on his way to a sound check. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, my gosh, I can just imagine Jeff Lorber looking at his watch. Oh, so much fun. I am so glad that he had the chance to be with us for the time that he did because that was going out of his way. He had just come from rehearsal, took the time to call, going back to soundcheck. Bless his heart. I wanted to play another song for you by Everett. Can I do it? Because this is one of the all-time great songs. So when you hear it, when he blows that thing and he just sends shockwaves of love back to you and refreshes the meaning of that song all over again, how cool is that? Our love is here to stay on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
There's My Girl. Woo! Isn't it nice to hear a female version of that song? A couple of tributes to Luther in this show, and it wasn't necessarily planned that way. It just happened to have panned out that way, and that's the best way to do a show like this, because as you can see from today especially, it's seat of your pants moments continually happening, because Everett Harp was supposed to join us in the first hour, and he probably didn't know yesterday when we had agreed to the time that the rehearsal for Scholars was going to be happening at the same time that he agreed to do the hour or part of the hour. So you just never know, and especially, oh my gosh, to think about the generosity of somebody like Everett, who doesn't really have to do this, but he thought it would be a real nice sort of gesture to make sure that he pays a little homage not only to Jeff Lorber and to Chuck Loeb, his tour mates these days, as of tonight, as a matter of fact, but also to George Duke. And he wanted to make sure that folks who were coming to the area on the weekend got a chance to see him do his thing in Bethesda. What he doesn't know, what he wasn't going to get told when he was here, was that he's going to get a birthday cake, like it or not. Yep, just talked to Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and they said, if you want to bring a cake, you do it. That's what's going to be done. So, Tracy Hamlin, back to our girl. She's just amazing in more ways than one. That is her version of Luther's Never Too Much. And matter of fact, we communicated earlier today, she just wrapped up the video for that song. That's the single from This Is My Life. What a song, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Her take is This Is Your Life. That's the song that Jimmy Webb wrote. The title of the CD is This Is My Life. Jimmy Webb knows all about that. They, I think, are still in communication. There is talk, maybe, that Tracy could be doing from time to time a Jimmy Webb showcase. I hope that she meant that when she said it, because that would be really awesome. So I was looking ahead at the events that are going to be happening tonight and through the next several days. When you go to the Facebook events, you not only see what's happening, but you also see birthdays. So I'm looking ahead, and I had forgotten that it's Tracy's birthday on the 22nd. Yay! So I was really excited to see that and thought it would be great to play that song today, especially since she just wrapped up the shoot. So I know that this isn't going to be done as much, because as well as being on Blog Talk Radio, Brett from BluesJazzRadio.com also runs hybrid jazz shows now from 9 to noon weekdays at his website. That's so awesome, isn't it? But I wanted to tell you what was happening in the way of some things, because they really do bear mentioning. I just got a CD in the mail from Aaron Rhines, who is unbelievable. He and his groove unit are going to be at Phillips' flagship seafood place tonight in D.C. So I wanted you to know about that. And also, our good friend, Mr. Bass, he is doing a little promotion for Tamika Moore at Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and that's happening for tonight. And also, you should know that our good friends at GHP Radio are going to be featuring the artist vocalist Heston tonight. So I want you to be aware of that. Just a couple of things happening. And again, glad to have the association of iTrackIAF.com, because those folks are absolutely focused on independent artists, and it's important to note that. Griselda, make sure you let your peeps know that I showed some love today, because there's a lot of folks that need to get love these days, really. We are trying to pull this all together so that jazz artists or jazz et cetera artists get some sort of spotlight on them. And it's a little bit tough. I vented yesterday on Facebook about publicity people not helping those who are in a position to help their artists get airplay or interviews, whatever. Everybody needs to pull it together to make sure that recording artists, especially independent artists, get recognition. So I'll get off my soapbox. We heard a little bit of Oscar Peterson, born on this day, 8:15. We're recording it on August 15th, 1925. Birthday that day and passed away in 2007, just a couple of days before Christmas. There was a taste of Oscar Peterson on keyboard and Benny Carter on sax. The song is You from a choice little compilation, Cosmopolit, released in 1994 but recorded earlier. Just a couple of things you need to know about Oscar Peterson because you need to do your own research about him. Honest to gosh, just brilliant. One of the most beloved and greatest pianists of our time. And we've lost a few this year. Mulgrew Miller in May and our George Duke just several days ago. So it's especially poignant to remember Oscar Peterson today on his birthday. Just so you know, an absolute plethora of awards and tributes through the years. This Montreal-born artist captured so many hearts. Over 200-plus recordings in his 60-year career. Even had been asked to run for political office, and he couldn't do it because of health reasons. But just to show you how things happen, there was an amazing man named Norman Grant, who was an impresario. At one time, many years ago, he was on his way to the airport. He was in Canada, and he heard a local radio station playing Oscar Peterson captured live at one of the clubs. And Norman said, stop taking me to the airport. I got to find out who this guy is. From that period on, they had a relationship. And the relationship was so touching that Oscar Peterson had a dog, and he had a nickname for Norman, and he named the dog the nickname that he had for Norman. And on the day that Oscar Peterson passed, that dog would not leave his side and was in his bedside when Oscar passed away. These are the kinds of relationships, as you heard Everett try to explain his relationship with George Duke. These are the kinds of things in life that matter. Nothing else does. Nothing else does. So it makes the music that much richer when you hear it afterwards. Let's play some more. Let's do that. Let's play something that means a little something-something. This is local music. We just played Tracy Hamlin, Baltimore born and bred. And now we're going to turn our attention to Mark Prince from the D.C. area. One of his shining moments, Fraction of Infinity from 2008. He got together with Gino Junebug Young and did a song called August for Karen. That's Mark Prince's wife. So it's Mark on drums and a whole bunch of excellent musicians. Check this song out on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
She said with words that had wings, a feeling deep within. The heart of a soldier softened by, of all things, a truth he knew would carry him. All my dreams have known the moment. month of August. Living seems to make the fable true. All our thoughts and deeds have come from August, and I wouldn't make it on without you. Summer wind, a life filled with love, the youngest child of three. Soon as the years would tell them, like turned to love, his precious friend and wife to be. All my dreams have known the month of August. Living seems to make the fable true. All our thoughts and deeds have come from August, and I wouldn't make it home without you.
We are all agreed in the chat room that this is the Shiggity. That's the song right there. The lighters are going up all over the arena, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 62nd birthday, Bobby Caldwell. Bless your heart. Woo! Let us write a book about it someday. What you won't do for love. You've tried everything. Never mind, 1978, and Bobby, oh my, his ears were burning the other day, weren't they, when Andrew New was on the show? Because he's one of the more beloved figures that we have in music these days, and you can best believe that Bobby, because of all of the news of different folks that he has worked with through the years, their passing does not escape him. So he is relishing each day. And it's going to be really very nice that Bobby will have a chance to get more love than he can possibly withstand, because he's just about to go to Japan, where he is honestly the king of the mountain. They do consider him to be, what do they call him? It's just so funny. They call him the king, or the sultan of AOR, album-oriented rock. It's just a different kind of mindset over there. He is worshipped, and he's going over there with Andrew New in the next several days. So safe journey, Bobby. Have a wonderful birthday, and keep on singing your song. Because you just made Griselda go into a zone. So thank you for that. We really enjoyed Griselda going into her zone, because she gets very happy when that happens. The chat room is alive and well. So nice to see Yolanda, Griselda, Beej, our SoCal gal. And Matt has joined us. The return of Mr. Matte. Dark Matter Productions. Woohoo! So nice to see you, Matt. We heard from Joe Sample, too. Had to play that song, Fly with Wings of Love. Whew. From Sample This. Don't you love that? Such a great title. Sample This from 1997. George Duke had a hand in that production. We've been all over the place with that name today, haven't we? That's just the way it is. And if you don't know about Sample This, know that songs from Rainbow Seeker forward were on this particular CD, so worthwhile to have, and then a few originals as well. And the reason I play Joe Sample is because I want folks to know this. Joe Sample is going to be with the Creole Joe Band coming to our region on September the 19th with the Creole Joe Band, by the way, Ray Parker Jr. It's going to be hot. It's on Micah Chevalier's birthday. So I'm just letting peeps know that if you want to congregate for a really special table that night and celebrate Micah Chevalier's birthday, this is going to be big. She really wants to meet Joe Sample. And it's the perfect way for folks to get together, you know, right before cold weather starts, September 19th, the best. So you go get your tickets, and we'll meet up there and have the best time. Because, look, I'm not saying anything other than the fact Joe Sample is 74. He's the best-looking 74-year-old I ever saw. And we want to make sure he gets all the love possible. He's going to have a rooting section at Ram's Head. So you be in that rooting section, and we'll see you. He's going to play a few dates, but this is going to be the absolute bomb because it's a smaller venue, so we get to show off a little bit. All right, we got a couple more songs to go, and I want to do this because we just mentioned Andrew New. He was on our show on Tuesday. Let's just see if we have the time to play this song, shall we? Night of the Mojito. From Everything Happens for a Reason on Hybrid Jazz.
dick, that's a sex machine to all the chicks.
You're damn right.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Can you dig it?
Cat that won't cop out the message you're all about.
Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Don't you do
that? He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.
Isn't it a kick to hear that song again? Ooh, 1971. I know, we've had a few songs from the 70s today. Isaac Hayes, Shaft. Oh, my. Born August 20th, 1942. Passed on August the 10th, 2008. Had to do a little remembrance of Isaac today because it worked so well with the song we heard just before. Just a beautiful soul, Isaac Hayes, multiple award-winning songwriter, musician, actor, and humanitarian. Significant. In the House of Stax Records in Memphis. Man, this has been a little unusual this day, but it's been fun. Just carried Stax Records for a while in-house. He had no equal. It was just remarkable, the body of work this man has done. And you know what? You know, the secret always says, be careful what you give voice to. But sometimes you just have to make mention of that. For folks who don't know Isaac Hayes, they just remember him because of that controversy concerning the TV show that will go unmentioned. There was so much more to Isaac Hayes than anything that pertained to him in regard to television. His work speaks for itself. And then what he was able to do for the country of Ghana, just remarkable. Make sure you get familiar with the life of Isaac Hayes and what he was able to do in his relatively short time here with us. Man, it was so cool when we had him walking among us. Just one of the coolest cats in the world. Hot Buttered Soul, 1969. Come on now. Come on now. With an 18-and-a-half-minute version of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Woo! It was smoking. Oh, my gosh. Jimmy Webb wrote that song. And we mentioned Tracy Hamlin before in regard to Jimmy Webb. Some real love in that corner, no doubt. We also heard Eddie Bacchus Jr., Derek Redfoot Freeman, Stanley Cooper, Kenny Wesley, et al. Part of the band called 76 Degrees West. Keep on moving on from their forthcoming CD, Can't Wait. The new single has Raheem Devon on it. You should be aware of that. 76westband.com has more information. And we also heard from Mark Prince with Gino Young and Company. David White, David Merlin, Greg Boyer, Alvin White, Michael Bowie, Federico Gonzalez Pena on that Fraction of Infinity CD from 2008. Thank you so much for joining us today on Hybrid Jazz. We had a great chat room. love to Everett Harp, who we'll see very soon. And we'll see you next time right here, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless you. Talk to you soon.